Now the situation is dark in Iran for
regarding
human rights. There are many people imprisoned, and we hear of some death penalties spoken. Can you say a little bit of the current situation?
Well, the current situation is similar to what has been going on since September in various cities and regions of the country. The important aspect is that the protests have been taking place all over Iran, almost, and in many ethnic populated regions, as well as the capital Tehran, quite widespread, and many other big cities. The regime has been exercising a very heavy-handed crackdown on protests. We heard yesterday they used some chemicals in one of the Kurdish cities. The name of the city is Javanrud, but it is not possible to verify that independently at the moment. Regarding the death penalties, well, no death penalties against the protesters have been carried out yet. Other death sentences, yes. People who had been convicted before or people arrested before have been executed during the last 2 months or so. But none of the protesters yet. There have been the judiciary, which is not, of course, it is not independent, and it is very politically motivated, has charged at least 28 people with charges punishable by death penalty. Six of them have received the death penalty in the first instance, but our experience shows that the appeal courts usually uphold the sentences issued by the first instance courts. So they are mostly rubber stamp courts, and these people are likely to be executed. Others are also facing the danger of being sentenced to death. There are also people under great pressure, torture, to confess to charges like murder and so on that could also bring the death penalty. But we don't have any newer information about them. What I should point out here is that until yesterday, we had recorded more than 480 names of the people who were killed during the protests, including more than 70 children and around or more than 30 women.
What is the legal situation? Which laws are used against the people who take part in demonstrations or in some other actions?
Yes, yes, a very good question. Well, you know that the Iranian law contains vague charges such as fighting God or corruption on earth. But the definition of these charges are also vague, and it is mostly up to the so-called judge to decide which charge to bring against somebody and how to interpret. So anybody arrested on the street and suspected of doing something that against the regime, for example, fighting the security forces or so, can be charged with these crimes, so-called crimes. They are very vague and they are very strange. I mean, if you tell somebody in Europe or in Asia or wherever in the world that somebody has been charged with fighting God or somebody has been charged with being corrupt on earth, I mean, you can imagine how they would react. It's just laughable.
Can you a little bit explain how you became a judge?
The judges are not independent at all. I should give you an example as an evidence of this. You know that one of the so-called trials that was held in branch 16 of the Islamic Revolution Court, where the judge usually sentences people to death. There was this signboard behind him, behind the judge, which said the trial for the insurgents. So this meant that they had already made up their mind, they had made up their decision that these people are insurgents and they are being tried for charges of rioting against the state. So this was a foregone conclusion. The other point is that these judges are not people trained in law. Most of them are not. Some of them may have a bachelor's degree in law, some of them. But most of them do not have any degree or any education in law. Some they may have studied in the theology schools. Mm. So that's how they decide their judgments, and they also mostly base their decisions on religious books. One of them, which is written by Ayatollah Khomeini, the founder of the Islamic Republic. And these are fatwas against people, against all sorts of people. I don't think we can go into details here.
For example, there's a fatwa against Salman Rushdie,
exactly.
Well known, yes.
Yeah.
And
everybody is certain that Ayatollah Khomeini had not read that book, because he couldn't read in English, and the most he could read was in Persian or some Arabic. But he hadn't read the book, and he issued this fatwa because some people told him that there was this and that in that book.
There is also a chief of the judiciary. Can you a little bit explain about him?
Well, the chief of the judiciary had been a deputy chief of judiciary for many years. And he is also a theologian without any specific education in law. He is responsible for issuing quite a few secret fatwas against people he considered apostates. People who reject the existence of God. And some people were killed secretly in the 90s because of his decisions. He was also in a position as the deputy chief of judiciary to endorse finally the death sentences and order them to be carried out for many years. Now he is chief of judiciary and he is trusted by Ayatollah Khamenei, the leader, supreme leader. What else would you like to know?
How do you think the situation may end with this demonstration and how the situation now?
Well, that's very difficult to predict, of course, because these demonstrations and protests are sort of ebbing and are rising and falling. It is like a sinus wave. You have some demonstrations in Tehran for a few days, and then there are not many demonstrations. Then they begin again, and it is also the same in many cities. So we don't know when and if the protests will come to end. That is one point. The other point is that there are many differences within the ruling factions. Some of them have been calling for some sort of dialogue with protesters. Some of them have been calling for a stronger crackdown. And this means that the regime cannot make up its mind on one final solution. Their problem is also that if they take a drastic action, like, for example, killing many people on the streets, and this does not lead to an end to protests, then they won't have any other solutions. So it seems that they are sort of weighing their options to see what they can do. The other problem is that they don't have anybody to talk to, because they have eliminated almost all opposition, either by forcing them into exile or sending them to prison or killing them. So there are no viable opposition groups which can at some stage be interlocutors to the government. So this is another problem they're facing. Some of the newspapers even have been calling for dialogue with protesters, with sort of taking their grievances seriously, addressing those grievances. But so far, the hardcore of the regime has not budged down, has not taken any measures that can be seen as reconciliatory towards protesters. But one thing is for sure, and that is that despite all this repression, despite the killings, etc., many women still go on the streets without any hijab, without any headscarves. And they even we see pictures and video clips of women walking even by security forces. And it seems that the security forces, in many cases, decide to ignore these women and to ignore that the refusal to observe the hijab.